Hey everybody, it's the time of the podcast where I ask for your help as always. If you're enjoying the podcast, go leave us a rating on iTunes, subscribe on iTunes, follow us on Spotify, and if you're enjoying what you're listening to, go tell a friend, tell your mom, your dad, your roommate, your brother, your sister, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, that random guy you're sitting next to on the bus, the train, your coworker. Tell somebody if you're enjoying this. Also, as always, go like our post on our Instagram page at Fighting Alone Podcast. And that's all I have for today. Let's get into today's episode. Hi, everybody. Welcome to today's episode of Fighting Alone. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about optimizing your body, some biohacks, and just other general, like, diet supplementation kind of things I've done over the last 4 to 5 years. I've kind of used my body as a guinea pig on all the popular things that you hear about. And just kind of thought I'd share my two cents on what I've found that works, what I've found that doesn't, what I think is a crock of shit, and what I think may actually be worth all the hype. I'll dive into a little bit of all that today. Also, I'm going to note right off the top, I'm trying a new sleeping pattern as part of my little, human guinea pig experiments. I was reading about Elon Musk's sleeping schedule and how he says it adds more productivity and energy to his life. So I'm running off that. And so far, this is my first night, after my first night of doing it, I feel pretty good. I also do feel like it was hard to get out of bed this morning. The sleeping schedule, if anybody's interested in trying it, is go to bed at 1 a.m., wake up at 7. So you get a solid 6 hours. I mean, you can adapt that any way you want. So I'm just trying that out right now, and so far, so good. One other thing I want to address before I wake up, before I get going too much, is I had some people reach out to me about how I kind of talk low and monotone and mute in some of my episodes. Not a lot of inflection in my voice. Just a little insight, pull the curtain back here. My quote-unquote studio is a 500-square-foot apartment. I have a dog and a roommate. So a lot of times when I record this, my roommate girlfriend is in the other room, or the dog's taking a nap or something, so my voice isn't always able to be as energetic, loud, and projecting as I want it to be. I know it doesn't make for best radio, but just to kind of pull back the curtain, so maybe I can alleviate some people telling me that I need to add more to my voice. That's why. I understand, like, it's not the best radio, and like times like now when I'm filming it with no one here, you can clearly tell I'm not, okay, well, we're going to do this today. You know, I adjust to my surroundings. In a perfect world, I'd be able to rent out an office space and, you know, record this there, or I'd have an extra bedroom or something. But not a perfect world, dealing with what I got, you know. So anyway, let's go ahead and dive into it. I'm going to go ahead and start off with the first thing that kind of introduced me to biohacking / human optimization. And that was, I think, one that anybody's always heard of. It's the diet plan, intermittent fasting. I actually heard about that during my senior year of college. I started playing around with that because I heard it could increase brain function if you put off eating. And I started doing that because, it was my senior year of college. I wanted to graduate. I never noticed any, like, oh, I'm smarter when I skip breakfast, or I pay attention better when I skip breakfast, you know, anything like that. I did like it for other reasons. I felt lighter throughout the day. I didn't, sometimes when I would eat breakfast, I would feel kind of grogged down and worn out there. So that's why I enjoyed it, is not necessarily a cognitive benefit, but I didn't feel like worn down. I felt like it helped me get out of bed and stay awake more. Which may be the cognitive benefit people talk about. You know, not being a scientist, I'm not able to say. But that may have been what people were talking about when they said the cognitive benefit is you don't feel worn down. Because a lot of times when I eat breakfast, especially when I was going to classes in college in the morning, it would be like wake up and within 20 minutes eat breakfast. And when I would do that, it would feel like all the progress of waking up and getting out of bed was immediately negated. And I would feel like, okay, I'm ready to crawl back into bed again. So that's why I kept with that for a while. I don't do it anymore, just because I am waking up earlier, so I can like not eat right away when I wake up, and then maybe like an hour after I wake up, eat a breakfast, and then I'm already good and energized and ready to go for the day, and the breakfast doesn't negate that energy feeling. That being said, there will be days where I will intermittent fast because I do like that light feeling every now and then. And that really, you know, a lot of it depends. Like if I eat really, like, you know, I eat a whole pizza or something the night before, I'll intermittent fast just because one, I had an excess of calories. I know I don't actually need them. And two, I like the, there's some benefits that show that doing that helps your cells and body reset. So, you know, I enjoy that aspect of it. So that kind of leads into the second thing I started doing with my biohacking or optimization of my body. And that was juice fast. I would do randomly throughout the year 3 day juice fast where you're drinking. You know, at least what I would do is I'd go out and buy all these different green powders. I did a lot of extensive research. There was like wheatgrass superfood, spirulina, you know, algae, all this stuff. And that would be, you'd get 3 of those a day. It came out to like 40 calories a shake, if you want to call them that. And you get that, water, and coffee. And that's what you do for 3 to 5 days. I never did more than 3 days because by 3 days I was struggling. I know there's people like Jocko Willink talks about how he just does it. I know there's a lot of people out there who do it and just feel fine. I never did it to cut weight. That was the one thing I want to advise. If you're trying to lose weight, this will work. I don't think it's the best for long-term sustained weight loss. I always did it as, like I said, there is some research that shows abstaining from food helps your body and your cells reset, regenerate. I did it for that, and then I also did it for kind of my own mental toughness, kind of harden the brain a little and realize, like, you know, I don't need food to get by should the worst happen, you know, and I can't eat for a few days, you know, I can survive. You know, so, you know, do it. If you want to try it, try it. There's, you know, I would recommend looking into a company I followed, MassSAF, MASF. They have a, it's quite expensive, but it does save you the headache of what I would do, where you'd go out and buy all these different powders, mix them all up together. They actually sell a superfood mix that is designed for 3, 4, 5 month-long fast, whatever you end up doing, to where all you have to do is one scoops, one shake, and it has all that stuff that I was going out and buying separately at the local grocery store or supplement shop. So if you're interested, go there. That's MASF Supplements, Smashing Greens. You know, if you're into it, it's a little expensive, but it does save you that headache of having to buy everything. Wouldn't necessarily recommend fasting. Again, if you're doing it for weight loss, I don't think it's the most sustainable thing. If you're doing it for a detox, you don't need to detox your body. You have a liver. Most scientists will say this, and any quote unquote scientist who says you need to detox your body with something like this, I would question them. Like I said, the benefits to fasting aren't in necessarily a detox, it's in a body helping your body maintain homeostasis or regain homeostasis kind of setting. And that's why I would do it. Or, it really is, if you're looking at a great way to test your discipline and mental toughness, a 3-day fast is great to do it. I know I tried to do 1 3-day fast with my dad, and he made it half a day before he broke in. I'm not saying he's not mentally tough, but I am saying it really does put some strain on you. And you fight against, we're all conditioned to eat at least 2 meals a day. Fasting definitely puts a little bit of a strain, or tempts your habits and kind of, puts some strain on your discipline. And it's, for nothing else, I would recommend it for that. The next thing I'll talk about is, and it's, I'm actually, I'll talk about it, so I'm currently drinking it right now, is Laird's Superfood Creamer. It's what Joe Rogan talks about, if you guys listen to his podcast, where he's drinking the turmeric coffee. At least from what I can tell, Joe Rogan has a setup where it blends Laird's coffee with his turmeric creamer. I don't have the turmeric version. I should get it, but what I had available to me at the local grocery store was just this basic creamer. It's pretty good. It has a lot of MTC oil in it, so if you are into the intermittent fasting, it's something you can do there. Or if you are one of the my buddies who does keto, it's a good keto-friendly creamer. It's a good vegan creamer. It's good. The one thing I will recommend is the first time you use it, don't be too far away from home. I know the first time I used it, it upset my stomach pretty bad, but I'm 4 days into using it, and it's a good low calorie alternative, low sugar alternative, and really high in vitamins and nutrients. So a good way, I know it's not really a biohack, but it's a good way to optimize your body, other than if you are a creamer person in your coffee or tea, throwing something with as much sugar as a Snickers bar into your coffee every morning. So, with that being said, I'll stick with morning beverages. One thing I used to do, I read this on its website, is you get warm water, pink Himalayan sea salt, and lemon juice. You mix them all together in about 8 to 12 ounces of water. I kind of just do a glass. I measure anything. I know there's exact measurements to it, but it's a jump start. Your body loses about 1 pound of water while you sleep through sweat. So it's, you get some good electrolytes from the salt, some natural electrolytes. Another benefit to it is it does flush out your colon if you do have issues with that. I know we're talking about going to the bathroom a lot right now. But it is good for that. That's another thing, like, until your body gets used to it, maybe don't be too far away from home. Do it on the weekend. But I do like it. I do feel, starting my day off with water, kind of, especially enhanced water like that, does make it feel kind of like, my engine's running a little better than if I jump straight to coffee or straight to tea, depending on what I'm feeling in the morning. That'll be the other thing I'll say is starting the morning out. This is another optimization thing I've read about, is don't go straight for the coffee. Drink a water, have some food or something on there. At first, I was for the longest time a wake up, drink coffee, then shower person. And now I've at least pushed it back to after my shower, so my body's going a little bit. And at first I didn't think that would do anything, but once I started doing it more and then started noticing the days I did drink coffee right away, like, it feels almost like you're pouring gas on a fire when you, if you're not a big coffee drinker and the first thing you do is drink coffee in the morning, or once you break that habit and then go back to it. So, it's just not great for your body. That much caffeine with nothing else can really, if you are predisposed to being anxious or, you know, you're stressed or whatever, it will really amp all that up. And that's not what you want first thing in the morning. If you can, I would recommend pushing back your first coffee to like 10 o'clock. You know, I get it. I don't all the time. But those are some things you can try. The next thing I'll mention, since I mentioned it earlier, was the keto diet. I know that's really popular. I've tried it. I did it for about 4 days. Not good enough to see any results from it. My biggest issue with the keto diet is a lot of vegetables are carb heavy. My favorite vegetable is broccoli. It's pretty carb dense and isn't keto. Well, it can be made keto, but you don't eat a lot of it. And frankly, I didn't get past, there's a keto flu phase where your body's so used to getting carbs and the glucose and all that crap from them that your body starts feeling sick. And I didn't make it past that phase. I was working at the time when I tried it, a really physical job where I was on my feet all day, picking things up, moving things around, you know, all this. And frankly, couldn't, you know, walk around being sick at that job. So, you know, I gave that up pretty quick. There have been mixed reviews about keto. I think most people can agree. Processed carbs, bread, donuts, pastas aren't the best for you unless you can get something really natural. You know, it doesn't have sugars and preservatives in it. It's not the greatest for you. So there is that benefit to it. However, some of the debate starts to come when you start talking about things like beans, some things like my favorite, you know, broccoli. You know, is that really bad for you? I know me personally, I've mentioned it a few times on this. After college, you know, I got up to 220 pounds. And personally, what got me off of it was, or to lose a lot of that weight was large portions of beans and broccoli with my meals. And I know this is weird, but they fit into what's known as a slow carb. So they fill you up more. They're a little easier to di or they take longer to digest, fill you up more, and allow you to lose a lot of weight. So that's where some of the debate for that comes. All right. So I'm gonna take a little break here. I'm supposed to be having maintenance come to my apartment, and I think they're about to show up. So instead of the podcast getting interrupted, I'm gonna take a quick sponsor break, throw the sponsor in here real quick, and then you guys won't even notice I was gone. All right. So I'm gonna take a quick break here. So if it seems like there's a little segment hop, I'm, you know, that's why. So I'll be right back. All right, I'm back. You didn't even know I was gone, did you? So where was I? A little note as to why I left there. I had to have some people come out and work in my apartment, so they showed up and I left. So but like I said, you don't even notice I was gone. So I guess let's jump into some of the more supplemental side of this, some of the more biohacking. I'll start with the one that's kind of the most popular that I feel like if you're somewhat into biohacking and getting on it, you've tried. And that is Alpha Brain on its thing. Joe Rogan talks about it all the time. I feel like it's probably the most preached about nootropic out there, or not preached about, but talked about. I've tried it. If you go to on it and put in a email and it's your first time doing it, generally you can get a sample of it and all you have to do is pay for shipping. So if you're interested, I'd recommend doing that. pardon me. I've tried it in a few different forms. I have a powder and a pill. I actually prefer the powder. The pill for me didn't work as well, which everything I read said it's supposed to be the other way. What I liked about the powder is it was cheaper. Maybe not cheaper, like if you broke it up by piece, but
cheaper on the initial buy, and then I could double up on that easier. Because I think at least the pills I had to take like four pills, and that was one serving. To where the powder, you open a pack, pour it in. If you want to, you pour it in. With Alpha Brain, I found it worked, but it would only work if I doubled up. Or it always worked, but I would really notice if I doubled up and then I hadn't eaten yet. So I tried taking it a few times, like after lunch, you know, that post-lunch drag you get at work, and never, I noticed a little, not a lot, but when I would take it in the mornings, a double serving, which, you know, everything I've read says it's okay to do that. So don't worry about that. I'll double it up, and then, you know, no food, I'll really feel it, and I would pretty much be able to track, just crush my day, at least the first half, and, you know, it would wear off after a few hours. The one thing I will warn about, if you take it too late in the day, I think it has some sort of stimulant in it, it will make it hard for you to sleep. I don't recommend taking it too much after 1 o'clock. Just because of that. I know some people, there are people who will take it if you're into lucid dreaming. I did notice that if I did take it like around 2, I would still be able to sleep, it would be a little harder, but then I'd have some weird dreams. So keep that in mind if you're gonna try it. I do recommend it. I know people are skeptical of it. You're not gonna be like Bradley Cooper in Limitless and automatically be able to do stuff. It makes you just a little more wired, a little bit more focused. And you know, gives you the ability to kind of truck through work a little bit more. So I would recommend trying it. Like I said, you can go to Onnit's website, and I don't know if they do it all the time, but at least that's how I started it. Is all I had to do was pay for shipping, and if I didn't like it, I could send it back and get a refund on the shipping. So I'd recommend doing that. Just if you wanna, if you're interested in playing around with it. I guess since I talked about sleep, the next thing I'll talk about is melatonin. I'm a big fan of that. You know, there's some speculation on whether melatonin actually works for you. Due to the amount that you can take over the counter without a prescription, some sleep scientists have said it would be like pouring a glass of water into the ocean. Sure, you added more, but it's kind of negligible. I don't know if that's 100% true. I've taken the lowest end, I've taken the highest end you can get, which is 10 milligrams. I've taken the lowest end, which is like 1 milligram. I've had mixed results with it. Sometimes I think it works great, other times I think it doesn't do anything at all. With the 10 milligrams, I always felt something. I used to work a very weird schedule, where I would wake up, you know, really early, and then because of my social life, stay out to where, in order to get my whatever hours of sleep I was trying to get. I don't want to say 8 hours because a lot of times it wasn't 8 hours. I would take it so I could get those whatever hours at the time. I'm trying to remember them. I should just move on. But I would take the 10 milligrams. I could be out in within 30 minutes. For best results with melatonin, if you are taking it, I'd always recommend starting lower. Don't start high. It's not habit forming, but it is one of those things where when you take it, like, you're not going to be addicted, but you do get used to it. And if you take it for too long, like I probably did when I was taking it all the time, you do get used to you do get used to having that to help you fall asleep. So keep that in mind. But just a couple tips for taking it. Take it, go lay down. Don't expect to fall asleep for 30 minutes. Lay down in the dark. In a dark room, watch some TV. I know blue light isn't the best for isn't the best for sleeping, so don't necessarily watch TV, but watch TV, read a book, something along those lines, and just wait for 30 minutes. Lay in the dark for 30 minutes, and then it'll hit you, and you'll fall out. You'll fall asleep, not fall out. Generally, that's how it worked for me. Like I said, play with the dosages. I've had the same results as 10 milligrams that I've had with three. So, it's all over the counter. I recommend the gummies over the pills. I think those, for whatever reason, work a little better in my experience, but that's just my experience. The next thing I guess I'll talk about in my little biohacking thing is CBD. CBD you got to be careful with, especially if you're working government jobs. I know I haven't ever personally met anybody who this has happened to, but I've heard stories of people not being able to get jobs because they bought really cheap CBD that had THC in it, and obviously you want to avoid that. I've tried THC products, anything from gummies, food like chocolate and stuff that you can get that has it in it, tinctures, so like the little, basically an oil that you just drop into your tongue. I've tried vapes, I've tried cigarette-like things, little, they look like joints but it's CBD. So the first thing I'll say is don't try, unless you're maybe trying to quit smoking, don't try the cigarette or joint things. They don't work. The tinctures worked really well for me. I took it a lot for, I do jiu-jitsu and MMA and all those things, which if you've never done that, really kind of makes your hands sore all the time. So I took it a lot for the inflammation that comes from that and just general workout soreness. And it helped the inflammation in my fingers. And if I take it after a really hard workout, it helped with my DOMS, delayed onset muscle soreness. So that little sore, stinging feeling you feel in the next couple days after a hard, heavy workout. So, I would recommend using the tincture for that. Like I said, the cigarettes and the joint-looking things, I wasted money on those, in my opinion. The gummies and the vape didn't necessarily help with muscle soreness and finger soreness as much as it helped kind of with the anxiety level, and it would just bring a calm to me. So if you're looking for something like that, maybe go that avenue. I know there's a lot to it. I'm not an expert in that. I have used it and enjoyed them, and I think there is some benefits. It's just a matter of finding what works for you. I know there's people who have never found anything that works for them, and they don't think there's anything to it. It's another one I would recommend trying. So I guess the last one I will talk about here, and this is one that I think has some really good results, but I will I'll still bring it up. I'm gonna end on this one because it's gonna end on a controversial note. Not really controversial, but I'm sure some of y'all will disagree with this once I tell you what it is. And I 100% believe in this biohack. It's the one I've had the most interaction with, or not interaction, but like best interaction with. And can definitely tell every time. And that is, that's nicotine. I know we've all, especially if you're around my age, you grew up in the no smoking, no dipping generation. It's bad for you, all that, which is why this gets a little controversial. And yes, smoking and dipping are bad for you. Tobacco, use isn't great for you. Smoking obviously has all its downsides. There's fiberglass and dip, all that stuff. And yeah, that's bad for you. But nicotine in itself has shown some, it has been shown to help people with CTE and other traumatic brain injuries not be as not show as bad of signs. It's also helped people who they've seen people who are smokers who may have been in similar instances as these people who had CTE, and they not develop notable symptoms to where maybe on a CAT scan they pick it up, but the person's life never changes and they would never know without having these scans. So it has that benefit to it. And then it's also, if you take it with coffee or another caffeinated substance, it can be almost like taking, you know, like an Adderall or a Xanax, or it's a, has very strong, not Xanax. You can tell I don't know my drugs. It could be like taking Adderall or one of those kind of things. It has very strong nootropic effects. So it's really good for that. And then on top of that, it has some appetite suppressant stuff. Don't necessarily recommend saying do this to lose weight. Obviously, it's not what you want to do. You don't want to be like, oh, I'm going to use this so I don't have to eat, and then I will, you know, lose weight. I know that's actually a pretty common use in the bodybuilding community. They'll do that to help them. That will help them cut weight and get down to that low body percent. And hey, if you want to use it for that, great. I don't recommend it. But I do recommend it for, I've noticed the, when I take it, if I were to take nicotine in the morning and then drink my morning cup of coffee or tea, like I do notice I'm more zoned in. I can pop out work quicker, and, you know, yeah, it does have that added benefit if you are intermittent fasting, which I know some hardcore intermittent fasting people would say it's probably against intermittent fasting, but I didn't actually eat anything. I may have put some calories in my body, but whatever. You know, it works. I recommend it. Now, don't go start smoking cigarettes. Don't go taking dip. Get the gum. Get a patch. Get, you can get packets that look like little dip pouches, but all it is nicotine. If you're going to do it, do it that way. They're the healthier version. As far as I can tell, what I've looked into and a lot of the studies show, that the only downside to using nicotine like this is developing a dependency. It can be habit forming, so keep that in mind. Obviously, like I said, I know this is going to be the most controversial one I talk about here. So, you know, I don't do it all the time because it's habit forming. Mine is, I'll buy a pack of gum, and or I'll buy a thing of the pouches or whatever it is, whatever I decide to use that time. I haven't gotten into, I know people will, if you get the pouches from Sweden, like Snus or whatever, they have a lot more nicotine content in them, like 30 milligrams in the States. The most you can generally get is about 6 milligrams. So if you want to really get into it, you can do that. But at least what I'll do is I'll cycle on and off. So let's say I have enough gum to get me through a month. I use it for a month. What I will do is wait another month, or I will double whatever it was. So if I used nicotine for 1 month, I'll take 2 months off and rotate out. That way, it's easy for me to not get dependent on it. It helps me cycle that in and out. And even then, during that month, I won't do it every day, or there'll be some days where I'll do a lot more, or vice versa. So keep that in mind. Again, you know, nicotine has its own downsides. You know, if you've ever used nicotine products, you know, if you're not used to it, nicotine can make you sick. So just like melatonin, start at a lower milligram or lower amount of nicotine, or if you can't get anything, like if you're limited in it, if it says like chew for 30 minutes or put in your lip for 30 minutes. Maybe do 15 if you've never used it before, because you can get really sick off of it, and it does take some building up. But like I said, I've had some very, 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 very good effects with it that I can tell. And then, like I mentioned, some studies have shown that nicotine can help brain function in the long run. I don't get tested for that yet, but it's nice to know that it could be helping that. So that's really all I have today. Like I mentioned at the top of the episode, if you enjoyed this or you enjoyed the podcast in general, please subscribe, leave us a rating, follow us, hit us up on Instagram, and tell a friend, tell your mom, dad, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, coworker, guy sitting next to you on the bus. Go ahead and tell them that. Tell them about it. Tell them to go listen. And spread the word. It would be greatly appreciated. The easiest way you can do it is take a screenshot of your phone while you're listening, and then post it to your Instagram story. And tag the Instagram page. I will repost everyone you do if you go ahead and do that. So I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Sorry, I know you guys don't notice, but I'm sorry I stepped away and had to throw an extra sponsor segment in there. Had some emergency maintenance that needed to be done in the apartment, so I apologize about that. Anyway, you guys have a great day, and hope you enjoyed the podcast. Bye.